Important dates in Christian history. 405 AD. After 23 years of work, translating from Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, Jerome completes the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible that becomes the standard for the next 1,000 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Don't be confused. This isn't the Olympics. No siree, Bob. This is Wide World of Christian Stories. What is that, you ask? Glad you did. I got a bunch of stuff. All very interesting in my estimation, but none of it really lengthy enough to turn it into a full-blown segment. So what do? You put them in a great big pile on your radio desk. You play super outdated music and you call it Wide World of Christian Stories. Ha! Ha ha ha!
Nailed it.
I did. This anybody who really works for a living must hear me say something like that and go, dude, really? You're celebrating that you hit a post? Oh, your life is so hard.
Yeah, but if you work in radio, you know the feeling.
I didn't say it's a good feeling. I'm just not sure it's something to be externally triumphant about. Really? That's hard. That was good work. You hit a post.
Yes.
This is Wretched Radio. Let's span the go. Oh, we got some entertainment stories. This is very exciting. Angel Studios. They're still owned by the Mormons, right?
Yep.
The Angel Studios. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's interesting because they're producing Animal Farm. And it's going to have they've identified the lead actor. I don't know if it's the lead actor, but one of the actors is transgender. Well, this is very exciting. The executive vice president of theatrical and brand development at Angel, that is a big business card, said, this is a project of tremendous heart. Oh, I love sloganeering like that. I can't. I listen to the Spotify machine when I'm listening to music at the gym, you know, to get pumped up. And there's a commercial running for Emory. It is the most incoherent thing that I've ever. I'm going to go find that. It's filled. Life is a circle filled with promises of tomorrow being more powerful than the circles of today. What? Did that make? Why do you? I don't even. This lingo. I know that language changes every decade. It's like we need a new dictionary. We need new words up. But this is a project of tremendous heart. Well, what does that mean exactly? Angel Studios. Oh, I didn't. Jimmy, did you know that they were work? They started out doing the Chosen thing, the Mormons with the transgender actor and announced a deal to distribute the animated adaptation of George Orwell's classic novel, Animal Farm. That's not all they produce. This is exciting. Angel Studios, their David, this is an animated film also, becomes the highest grossing faith animation movie ever released from the Angel Studios right there. It brought in over $70 million at the box office. Said the head of theatrical. Is that the same guy, Brandon? Is that the same guy? Yeah, same guy. Shorter title this time. Families are searching for values-driven films that honor hope. What is that? That honor hope? Bible sales in the U.S., they are still surging, doubling since 2019. The question, of course, is, are people reading them and are people understanding them? Which actually gives me an opportunity in an impromptu kind of way. Friel, is there anything else there at Wretched Radio? No. Sunday School. Jimmy, I am telling you, Eric is crushing it. He's taking us through Isaiah, which if you just read Isaiah in a more formal equivalent, like King James, New King James, ESV, it is just plain hard to understand because it's visual. You've got to know so many details, which is why in hermeneutics always talk about, make sure you understand as much as you can about the setting of the original audience, the politics, the people, the nation, the regions. What is it like? Commerce, trade routes, all as much as you can learn, not because it stands on top of interpreting the Bible, but because it's needed to understand your interpretation of the Bible. And Isaiah probably, well, there's others, but there's maybe no better demonstration of the need to understand as much as the original audience did. So Eric is taking us through Isaiah, and not every single verse, because it would take a very long time to do that. But what he's showing is the connection between Isaiah and the New Testament. Because the New Testament, besides Psalms, most often quotes Isaiah, specifically in regard to Jesus. And he was taking us through Isaiah chapter 9. And you know that. You go, hey, wait a second. I think I've heard that before, because that would be Christmas verses. And you would be right. But let me perhaps, and it'll pale by comparison, do a Cliff's Notes version of what Eric is doing on Sunday morning, so that you can go, whoa, that there Bible is really connected. So what's happening in Isaiah? In chapter 8, we learn that the children of Israel are being very, very naughty. They are not being faithful to the covenant. And here's the announcement. This is now Isaiah. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. Now, there's a threatening in chapter 8, verse 21. They will pass through hard-pressed and hungry. It shall happen. And when they're hungry, they'll be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. In other words, they're going to get exactly what God promised they would get for breaking the covenant that they made via Moses, the quid pro quo covenant. If you behave well, I bless you. If you don't, I curse you. Well, you haven't been behaving well, so here come the curses. And then verse 9, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. And when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, you go, what is that? What do you mean he didn't esteem them? What were those lands? Well, this is where you have to go back historically and understand these two regions, that they were poor regions, that they were very influenced by paganism because they were northern and they were Galilean. That's important. And afterwards, more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. You go, what? What? I don't even get that. This is why hermeneutics, and this is why not commentaries necessarily, but Bible dictionaries or encyclopedias can be so helpful. There was a trade route. It went from Egypt up the coast by the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. Now, armies would come through, but it was also a trade route, very important, and it went through the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, which means they were very influenced by outsiders, which was one of the reasons that they were so watered down. Verse 2, but the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, and upon them a light has shined. Who's the light of the world? Well, first of all, a little bit later in Isaiah, God himself is referred to as the light. Jesus claims that he is the light. So clearly an equating of divinity. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest. So he's starting to, he uses the harvest. And when an army wins a battle, how they rejoice. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen to you. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. And Eric brought out Wonderful Counselor was one who is more of a miracle worker, one who could do signs with his teaching. Mighty God, that would be divinity. So what do we hear? A child is born, humanity. What do we hear? A mighty God is the child, divinity. Everlasting Father, you say, wait a second, how can, I thought the Father was the Father and Jesus was the Son. Jesus acted very fatherly-like, calling people sons, daughters, and treating them so kindly and lovingly. Prince of Peace, what kind of peace? Well, there's no end to his peace. He's taken the throne of David, so he's fulfilling the Davidic promise that there's going to be a king who reigns forever. That's Isaiah chapter 9. And it reveals clearly these titles, by the way, in the book of Isaiah, they're ascribed to God. And we know that this child that would be born is the Messiah. How do we know? Matthew chapter 4. It actually quotes this section of scripture. So we know that this is talking about Jesus. And we know that these descriptors are also of God himself, which means Jesus is God himself, which is why we need to make sure that we don't unhitch that Old Testament. Because if we do, no, you just lose all the confidence in the world that Jesus is the divine Son of God and the Messiah. So Bible sales are surging in America. One wonders, will they know how to read it? If your church has never done hermeneutics, this isn't a pitch. It's just an opportunity. We have Herman Who. It is absolutely free. It has a study guide, and it will teach the people who are maybe new believers or just bought a Bible for the first time how to read the Bible. It's called Herman Who. It's available at fortisplus.org. We'll continue spanning the globe next on Wretched Radio.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. Okay, so if you admit it, you're like the rest of us. You've got 47 streaming services, and you're paying for at least six of them. But somehow, every night, you sit down on the couch and you say, there's nothing to watch. Meanwhile, Fortis Plus is sitting right there for free on your Roku, your Fire TV, Apple TV, Android. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of content on theology, marriage, parenting, manhood, cultural issues, stuff that actually matters. And you know what? We keep adding more. Yeah, of course, you could scroll through Netflix for like 45 minutes looking for something that won't rot your brain, or you could pull up Fortis Plus and learn something that'll actually help you be a better husband, dad, or Christian by the time the credits roll. Download the Fortis Plus app right now. It is absolutely free, and it's on your TV. And unlike that true crime documentary that you've watched three times at least, it might actually do you some good.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry to spanning the globe stories. This is Wretched Radio. As we span the globe, got a couple that are the depravity of human beings. AI videos of child sex abuse surged in 2025. Cool. Artificial intelligence generated videos depicting children being abused surged by more than 26,000%. There are actually some people who would argue it's good that AI does this because people that have that proclivity, well, then they'll be satisfied with watching AI and it won't involve real babies. That's to miss the point. Completely. It's because what is going on in the heart and mind of the individual consuming it, and I can guarantee you this, AI will never satisfy. Nothing satisfies because sin is ravenous. It's voracious with its appetite. More, more, more. You got to look at more. You got to look at better. It will never satisfy. So an individual who wants to watch this type of perversion, they're going to watch it, and you know what they're going to say? Wouldn't it be more interesting to watch real children? Yeah. And it won't stop there either. Wouldn't it be more fun to do that to real children? So yeah, they can somehow say that AI porn is better. It's not, because it's still twisting people. And it's still allowing them to use sinful thoughts and desires. Not that the world cares about such things, but we do. And furthermore, we can share with the world, sin is never satisfied. This will not put an end to people's desire to do wicked things to small children. It's only going to feed their appetite, and it's going to make their appetite greater. Second story, Tucker Carlson warns that porn addiction exposes U.S. to conquest. You know, I don't think that I'd argue with that because we've got a bunch of young men who have they're shriveled up. They aren't manly anymore. They are just consuming this horrible content, and it's gutting them. And they're not the type of men who have courage. They're hiding behind closed doors through filters and whatever machinations you go through to make sure that your mom or your spouse doesn't find out about your habits. We're not raising up courageous, brave heart like men. But then there was something inside of the article that I just went, ugh, and I don't even know that I want to mention it, other than to say, mom and dad, please, please, please don't let your child have unfettered access to their cell phone. Please don't. The stuff that is going on, okay, I'm still debating and I'll try to get through this. Apparently, it's increasingly popular. Okay, I'll tell you what. No, I can't mention it. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. Please just trust me when I say, It's so twisted. It's so depraved. It is so darkened. And that's where nobody who's doing this particular fetish that Carlson says is on the uptake, on the increase, nobody starts there. They get there because sin just keeps demanding more and more and more. And if your child is allowed to enter and engage in that world, don't be shocked when you discover very, very, very bad things are going on their cell phone. Let's go to Turkey, shall we? Hey, Jimmy, yes. Turkey, that's where the Christians were that Peter was writing to in 1 Peter.
That's right.
You know how I know that?
Because you're preaching through 1 Peter.
At what church?
Alpharetta Bible Church.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's exactly why. Thank you very much. It was a 3rd century mural depicting Jesus as the Good Shepherd. This was in Nicaea. You remember that, of course, the First Council of Nicaea. It was dealing with all kinds of potential heresies, and out of that, we got the Nicene Creed. The mural depicts Jesus as a young man in a simple tunic, carrying a sheep on his shoulders. He's also carrying a date palm, a symbol of eternal life and resurrection. Well, that's kind of cool right there. Matthew, he must be quoting the Old Testament. He's the shepherd that will rule. That's the type of shepherd you want right there, a ruler shepherd, one who has power and authority, who can get stuff done, cares about you. That's what you get with Jesus. One hand, you get a staff that will defend you, protect you. The other hand, you've got a rod of iron that can crush people. That's what you want in a savior. You want a savior who is mighty and strong, a ruler, and yet is a shepherd. Well, apparently the early church, they thought that too. Why? Because back in the 3rd century, a mural depicted Jesus that way. Exactly. Psalm 23, that's what he was referring to. I'm the good shepherd. I'm trying to remember, I think it was the John version. Do you remember the word for word, John? It was for the NIV. It wasn't today's new NIV, but it was new NIV. It was the older one. Regardless, when Jesus is engaging with people in the marketplace, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. There's such a warmth and a pleading in his voice. Back to America we go. Did we ever leave? Whoa, more Protestant churches closing than opening in America. Please note, these are your mainline Protestant churches. Thousands of them closing. In 2024, 4,000 churches closed. That's not good. 293 Protestant churches. That's what I think the number is actually higher when I did the math a number of years ago. Nevertheless, there's 300,000 Protestant churches in America, and the mainline Protestant churches are shrinking. Be encouraged, Bible preaching pastor. You know where the people are going who are leaving those churches? They're going to Bible teaching churches. They've had enough. They want something that is simultaneously serious and sober-minded and, you know, biblical. You want to close? Go liberal. You want to stay open? Be biblical. Besides, that's kind of the right way to do it anyway. Here's the wrong way to do it. In Canterbury Town, that would be in Great Britain, a priest protests the election of Archbishop of Canterbury. One. One. He was removed from the formal election service of Dame Sarah Mullally as the first female Archbishop of Canterbury at St. Paul's Cathedral. I've been to St. Paul's. That is an amazing place, I'm telling you. He shouted his objection. That period. That's all. I object. This was one of those, if anybody here objects, say it. I object. Kick him out. Good on you, sir. But this is fully predictable. As soon as the Anglican Communion started ordaining women in as elders and as what they call priests, this was inevitable. This was just a matter of time. He said he was not treated all that delicately on his way down the steps, by the way. Here's a good news story. This is New York City. That's right. A good story coming out of New York City. Let's hope there's more of these to come. Mrs. Friel, years ago, said this is exactly what needs to happen. The only way to shut down these satanic surgeries on children where we maim them and mutilate them and cut off body parts and inject them with all kinds of drugs and hormones. She said if pharmaceuticals, surgery centers, if doctors start getting sued and losing, then insurance will stop covering them and it could shut them down. Let's hope this is that first step. A New York jury delivered the first successful malpractice verdict tied to pediatric gender medicine. A former minor patient who underwent irreversible medical intervention and later sought to reverse those decisions. That's rough. A jury awarded $2 million. The medical professionals involved departed from accepted standards of care when approving or performing a double mastectomy on a 16-year-old girl in 2019. Now, this wasn't about whether or not these things were moral or not, that there's something that are actually scientific and correct. It was about the procedures. Nevertheless, if there can be more of these to come, the case basically rested on the did they do it right? Did they consult with other professionals? And the decision, the verdict was they did not. They didn't check in with the psychiatrist. It was, let's just get this girl into the mill. Let's get the surgery done and let's get our paycheck. And the jury said guilty. Let's hope that is the beginning of the end of one of the ugliest blights on civilization that maybe we've ever seen, the mutilation of children. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.